What do you guys want to know? Seriously.
Everything.
All right. In the beginning, there was nothing but void. I'm serious. Just the Creator and the void. And he thought, I'd like to have children, but before I can have children, I have to have a place for them. So how am I going to make that? And with the loudest bang that was never heard, he clapped his hands, and out of there burst forth life, nuts, ice, water, rocks, everything the cosmos would need to form. And the dust clouds coalesced into stars. The gravity kept drawing in until they ignited. And the leftover dust around the stars coalesced into worlds. They were magma, but when they were cool enough, the Creator thought, the time is right. Now I can go seed life. And he would go to each world and rocks and or grass and trees and fish and everything the children would need on that particular world, and the web of life would surround it. Started way east of here, seeding life, each of these worlds. Excuse me. He finally got here to Turtle Island. In fact, not far from where I live, up just south of Lake Superior, he got to our world after the web of life had been established, and he piled up two piles of red dust, and he poked his finger and made the heart box. He then reached over to England, brought back two piles of white dust, poked his finger in and made the heart box again. Reached over to Africa, brought back two piles of black dust, and then he reached over to the Gobi Desert, brought back two piles of yellow dust, again making the heart box and all those people. He then gave energy from each half of his body, made first man and first woman of every race. In fact, today our medicine wheel still has black, white, red, and yellow on it because the Creator told us to honor all my creations, including your brothers and sisters, which we've done. To this day, we still remember. And the Creator made that heart box for us to store hurts, pains, and traumas in, but only for, he thought, a couple of days, then we're going to let it go. But that was before he breathed life into us and found out, this is my crap, I'm keeping it. Thank you. It's mine. Put away. So anyway, he breathed life into us, and guess what the first thing we did was? We started whining. We need light so we can see, and dark so we can sleep, and we need to know what is food, and what animals are our friends, what animals will eat us, what plants are poisonous, what herbs are medicine, what herbs are poison. And the Creator says, listen, you guys, you're my children. I've given you free will. Let no one take that away from you, as I will not. And that's a really profound statement, which we'll get into later. But he said, first, I'm going to give you four medicines. You all know what the first four medicines of the Native Americans are? You must know one.
Sage.
That is the first medicine that they give us. Smell that and have them pass it around. The Creator says, I give you sage, so you can purify yourself before you talk to me. He said, the second medicine I give you is tobacco. He says, you take your tobacco and hold it up when you pray as an offering to me. Then I know you have a good mind and a good heart. Again, smell it. It's a good herb. The third medicine he gave us was sweetgrass. Are you all familiar with sweetgrass? I forgot it, or it would have been here, but anyway, it's a herb that we braid together, and the Creator says, I give you sweetgrass. He says, when you've got a question of particular importance, he says, you know a lot, but you don't know everything. So you light your sweetgrass, and you make four circles with it, and you think your thought to me, and he said, I'll send an angel or a good spirit to bring you the answer. And the last medicine he gave us is the white cedar, the first physical medicine we had. He said, if you're feeling a little off, you can take the white cedar, a sprig that big, and put it in a cup and make tea out of it. It's good for you. He said, if you eat the wrong foods and get constipated, get a bad belly, He said, take a sprig as big as your hand and boil it till the water turns red brown. And then have a cup, but have some patience. Ask me how I know this. The only thing I can say is if you do like me and drink that second cup, you better put a seatbelt on the toilet so you don't hurt your neck. But anyway, that's the reason we got our first four medicines. And the Creator brought us all kinds of herbal medicines to use. This one's Heal All. It's an additive I like to use with every herb, with most of my tinctures or teas that I make. Most people don't like it. It's very invasive. In fact, it's really funny. All of the invasive plants are medicine. What a coincidence. And this one here, this is boneset. Anybody know what boneset is?
Yeah. They've used it for flus and really bad aches and pains.
Yeah, I use it for migraines. It's really good for migraines. I've also used it. I had a gentleman from Cumberland, Wisconsin. His jaw was ate away. 2 months on boneset, it all grew back. Well, did that in the healing. So the native herbs are really, really well. Really a good medicine. You know, almost all of our Western medicine's based on herbal medicine. Did you know that? They took our herbs and they smash them, break them into 1,000 pieces and make a pill out of that piece and that piece and that piece and that piece and that piece. But the thing is, the Creator made the medicines in each herb to work synergetically together to become whole, a whole unit that fights against things. In fact, I'll be getting into talking about Lyme's disease in a little while, the history and whatnot. I use a combination of four herbs in one of these bottles and four herbs in one of these bottles. Do you all know the history of Lyme?
No, sir.
No? It started in 1933, Germany. They were making a biological weapon. Anybody know what Borrelia is? Borrelia SP. It's a symbiote, lives in our GI tracts. It helps us to break down nutrition. It helps us to be able to absorb the stuff in food. Well, in Germany in 33, they got this bright idea that if they would take that symbiote, that spirochete symbiote that is our friend, and cross it with another spirochete, I mean. And you know which one they crossed it to? Syphilis. That's the reason some of the, what they call co-infections, are really mutations of the original two mix. But that wasn't good enough for them. They then took that two-way cross and crossed it a third time with malaria. That's why Lyme's has a chills and fever, and why it has all of that. Just as a side note, I guess it was in Germany for an exhibition baseball game prior to World War II, about 7 months before I came down with Lou Gehrig's disease. Yeah, exactly. I've cured 5 people of Lou Gehrig's when I got rid of the Lyme's. I've cured 30 people of MS again when I got rid of the Lyme's. I've got rid of thousands of cases of fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, all that stuff. And I simply think it's misdiagnosed Lyme. You know, they try to treat a complex organism like the spirochete, because it wasn't done with this first three-way cross. That wasn't the end of it. It killed Lou Gehrig too fast. So then they back-crossed it to our symbiote, and they back-crossed it again to make the disease we have today. It's pretty spooky out there. And most people don't know it's contagious. Canada, I was up in Canada waiting for my boat to come in. I take a week's vacation every year. Up where there's no cell towers. It's the only peace I get all year is that one week I get up in Canada there. And while I was waiting for the boat to come in and get me, there was the Fort Francis Advocate or something was laying on the dock, right? And I picked it up when I was going up and it said, USA in a nationwide Lyme epidemic. Of course, we don't have any here in Canada. Yeah. So I went up on my vacation. I come back and somebody was kind enough to drop another paper there. And you know what the other paper said? The Canadian government went out in the wild and collected 500 blood-sucking insects from chiggers, black flies, mites, gnats, no-see-ums, mosquitoes, ticks, horseflies, deer flies, pine horn beetles, all those animals that bite, suck blood. Guess what? They all had Lyme's. The trouble is, if you get bit by a mosquito, they'll pump in 10 or 20 spirochetes in you, and it will be, my goodness, probably 5 years before your body can keep up fighting against them. But in 5 years, you finally get to that tipping point, and your symptoms start showing up. Same way if you kiss somebody who's got Lyme's. Now just think about it, if you got Lyme's, you kiss somebody, they won't know for 10 years they got it, so you're safe. But it's actually a pandemic. I have clients on every continent in the world. And what I see with my German clients is it's not mutated so much as the American variety. Then why would that be? What would be the reason that the German variety of Lyme's, the original version, is still more in the antique form than the American version? Because they treat it with herbs. I had a German doctor call me from Munich. And he said, could I come and see you? And I said, why? And he said, well, for 7 years I tried to get rid of my patients' Lyme's and I couldn't do it. And he went and seen you and a year later he's got no Lyme's, he said. So can I come and see you? And I said, sure. So the first thing that happened, he come in to my healing center, he sat down. He said, how is it you get rid of Lyme's and I can't? I said, well, first of all, Doc, you gotta be smarter than the bug. But he says. Them German doctors don't got a lot of sense of humor. But anyway, I said, Doc, what is the maturity rate of a Lyme's bug? And he said, well, most bacteria is 10 to 30,000 life cycles a day. That means they live, they breed, they die, whether we're killing them or not. And I said, well, Doc, the maturity rate of the Lyme's bug is 7 days. They hatch and feed, and it can have babies. Most bacteria, that's 30,000 times. Right? You see what I'm getting at here? When you've got a bug that can multiply that fast, they don't have time to mutate around a single component medicine. I asked the doctor, I says, how many components in doxycycline, Doc? And he says, Vaughn? I said, 200 components and another 200 components, herbal. In 1 week, they figure a way out around it. So you know what I do? They spend all that energy figuring out a way around it. I hit them with this. And then they spend that whole week figuring a way out around that, and then I hit them with this. And it keeps them off balance, and it actually does work. I've got tens of thousands of people cured of Lyme's. Some of the doctors finally admitting that you can never get rid of Lyme's. And he's right, he can't get rid of Lyme's because a single component medicine will not do it, but this will. And there's a lot of things that herbals can do that they can't do in Western medicine. In May, I went blind. Not once, but four times. each one was a message from the Creator. But I'm a little bit stubborn. I was doing 72 in cruise control, going up this big hill, and my vision went out. I tapped off the cruise, and I kept going to the right. And finally, I heard the rumble strips. And so I stopped. My vision came back. I headed up to do the healings I was doing. Went 8 more miles. Went out again. I said, that's enough for me. I turned around. I was heading back home. Up on the same big hill in Wisconsin there, went out a third time. And I'm still saying to myself, I'm fine. I'm fine. I am fine. And so I get home and I wasn't feeling, I was 99.9%, but I wasn't 100%. And so I laid down and it happened a fourth time. And I figure, well, all right, I know what's going to happen next. If you ignore the Creator four times in a row, He's going to slap you really hard. So I called the doctor down in Minneapolis, and I went down and got a brain scan. And they couldn't find nothing wrong with me. They did sonograms and all of that. They said, oh, you got a lot of narrowing in your artery here, the one doctor said. And I said, do you suppose that is where you did 45 radiations on my neck and it's full of scar tissue? Oh, she said, I didn't look. Well, anyway, I had to talk to one more doctor. I went in there on a Friday night, and by Saturday morning, I was feeling good. I wanted to get out of there. And they said, well, you can't go. You got to talk to the neurologist, the brain doctor. And I waited and waited and waited. 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, she finally shows up. She says, well, I got some good news and some good news and some news I don't know what is. And I said, well, what's the good news? She said, there's nothing wrong with you. I said, well, that's nice. I says, what's the what if? She says, well, we don't know. She said, I would have been here sooner, but I compared your brain scan to 15 million veterans that we've scanned over the years, and there's not another brain like yours out there. And I said, what do you mean? And she says, you have a column of gray matter goes right through your white matter. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, well, what does it mean? She says, I don't know. I said, well, some doc has to be first, you know, the guy who named Dr. Bergendorf, who named Lyme's, you know, Borrelia Bergendorf. Don't you want to be first with this? She says, nope. I'm not. I said, is it cancer? She says, no. I said, what do you think? She says, I can't think nothing. She says, what do you think? I said, well, what I think, doc, is I've been channeling the Creator for over 55 years. And maybe that conduit that's in there is what keeps my energy out of my healings, and you only get the Creator's energy when I do healing. She said, can't be that. I said, okay, well, we've went through every logical explanation that it's not, right? That leaves two highly improbable explanations, and probably illogical too, but we've got rid of one of them. She said, what's the other one? I said, well, you know, maybe my mother's milkman was an alien. Of course, she said, I gotta go. I said, wait before you go, doc. I don't know if you guys can tell here. I've got no joint in my finger here. You know why that is? I cut him off with the table saw right there. And my doctor, he wanted to throw him away. And I said, doc, why do you want to throw my fingers away? I need them for gathering herbs. And he said, because you'll never feel them. You're going to reach for your coffee cup and spill it on your keyboard. Of course, back in those days, a keyboard was like $250, but now you can buy them for a nickel. But I said, well, whose world is that in that you can't fix the nerves? And he said, well, it's in all the medical books. I said, well, it's not in any medical books. And what you saw them on? He said, I don't think so. And if you ever have that little voice in the back of your head talk to you, it came up, sneaked up on me, said, speak his language. I said, what? Speak his language. Doc, if you don't sew my fingers on, I'm not going to pay a penny. You see they're there? Works every time. But anyway, I went home and I used a medicine like this, right? I took my drops every day. Now the first day they sewed on, they were still numb. Second day I used those drops, so they were starting to ache. Like, any of you guys ever been out ice fishing when it's like 10 below and you go in the house and it feels like somebody jammed ice cubes in your fingers? That's how my fingers felt the second, third, and fourth day. But I woke up the fifth day and my feeling was back. On the sixth day, I had to go back to the doctor. He wanted to check, see how I was doing. And so I went in and he looked my fingers over and he said, "You're seeing that witch doctor up at Spooner, ain't ya?" And I says, "No, doc. I am the healer up at Spooner, but I see you definitely missed your history classes in college." He's, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Before the Mayflower land, there was no witches. Before you brought the slave to work the plantation, was no voodoo. Don't blame your crap on me." And then I told him, I said, "I can feel my fingers." He says, "No, you can't." I said, "Doc, who would know better if I could feel my fingers, you or me?" And he made me put my hand behind my back like this. And when I got done with his little test he was doing with a pencil or a pin or whatever the heck he was using back there, he said, "I was the luckiest guy in the face of the earth." And I says, "Why is that, Doc?" He said, "Well, you guessed right 37 times in a row." That's a guy who will not give up. You know? But that doc, the brain doctor, right? She said, "I got to go." I stopped her. I said, "Doc, look at my fingers." She said, "You cut them." I said, "Yeah, I cut them off. See, there's no joint." I said, "Doc, what do you got that can grow nerves back?" She said, "There is nothing that can grow nerves back." I said, "I feel my fingers. I've felt them since the fifth day I cut them off." She said, "Well, that's not possible." I said, "Test me." And she'd give in really quick, though. About five or six times she touched it. I wiggled the right finger. And she says, "Well, what is it?" And I said, "It's this herb and this herb and this herb." And it was northern club moss, or princess pine, we call it up in Wisconsin, and white clover blossom, and nettle. Grew my fingers back, the nerves. How simple is that? You know, all of these herbs that we use, I have a special use for them, but 20 of them will do the same thing on different levels. This will do 20 things, and these overlap. My grandmother she taught me 1,800 herbs. I guess I was a slow learner, it took 28 years. But because of the difference in the age, with my grandmother, we would gather 25 days a month and prepare herbs. And she would do healing 5 days a month. I do 15 to 20 healings a day. And I'm lucky if I get a day off a month to go gather. But it's changing times, you know. Cancer people like to chatter. Right now I've got 20 people out of hospice with cancer that were terminal. And I've had, right now this minute I'm working with 4 terminal guys. And they were all supposed to be dead by March or April. And how are we keeping them alive? With herbs. With fungus off trees. I use, for cancer, I like to use dandelion blossom, real high antioxidant, good for you. I use chaga. You all have heard of chaga? Chaga is a fungus that grows on the side of birch and beech trees. They'll get that big. They're all covered with black. You've seen burls, right? You've all seen burls that grow on trees?
Yes.
Chaga looks like burls, except it's usually only on one side. But when you take them off, the inside of it's full of rust powder. And it's a living organism. It's like yeast. So I get it home and I dry it and I take a rasp and I rasp off all the black bark. I use that for skin conditions, eczema and psoriasis, stuff like that. But I take that center and I dry it. And I powder it real fine. that's the way we've always done it. My grandmother showed me, her grandmother showed her, and on and on and on back. I get a kick out of the New Agers. You go online, you gotta boil it. Nice, you done killed it. Guy said, well, I heard the Russians always boil it. I said, did you get that off a Russian website, did ya? Well, no. I said, bonjour, I'm a French model. But what my grandmother taught me about the chagas, it likes to feed on cancer cells. Interesting little plant to have around. But the thing is, if you boil it, you killed it. Now, a scientist said, we got to boil it to break the cells. No, you powder it. You powder right fine, you break the cells, and you leach it out in room temperature water. I put a cup or two per gallon. No, excuse me. Half to three quarters of a cup per gallon. And I usually give people enough to make 2 gallons worth. I had a young lady come to me in August last year. She had a grapefruit on her pancreas. She's from Colorado, 52 years old, and her doc said, your folks live in Proctor, Minnesota, right? She said, yes. She said, if you want to see them, you better get going right now. And so her brother drove out, loaded up all of her stuff, and they were headed back up to Proctor, Minnesota, which is Colorado's here, and Proctor's here, and Spooner's right here. Well, they needed gas. They stopped at Spooner at a gas station, and they looked up the street, and you could see a coffee shop up there. So they stopped up at the coffee shop, and one of my pancreatic cancer clients was in there from like 22 years ago, and he was telling his friend, yeah, see, the doctors gave me a couple of weeks 22 years ago. I'm looking pretty good, you know. And she said, I hated to do it, but I went and got right in his face and asked him what he did, and he told her that went and saw the medicine man outside of town there, you know. And she stopped on a Sunday when I wasn't open. But I couldn't let her go because, I mean, that you could see the grapefruit right in front of her belly. It was hard as a rock. And I says to her, I don't have any chag right now except the stuff when I got rid of my own cancer. I had 3/4 of a gallon left. And it had set out for 3 years. Well, I wanted to see if it was going to spoil. So I set it out there, and it never molded, never did nothing. So she came, and I said, I want you to drink this. I tried it, and I said, yeah, it still tastes like chaga. So I put her on that. I did the energy healing. I fixed her genetics, fixed the genetics of the mutation. We all have in our body, we have a gene in the DNA that's called the check gene. It tells our cells to divide and then die, divide and die. So we stay relatively the same size unless we overeat. If we eat our emotions, that's something else we're going to get to later. But anyway, I fixed her genetics, and I had a cancellation on, that was Sunday, I had a cancellation on Tuesday. I told her to come back on Tuesday at the set time. And she came back, and the grapefruit was the size of an orange. And I said, I got another cancellation on Friday. Come back again. And she came back again. It was the size of a hen's egg. I said, go get the PET scan he set you with. Well, she couldn't get in until the next Thursday, and which was the 11th day from the day I started with her. She went and got her PET scan, and the doctor says, I don't know what's going on here exactly. He said, you got a ping pong ball size lump of scar tissue in your abdomen, but it ain't hooked to nothing. I don't know where it came from. She says, you think it could be a tumor? He says, you ain't got no tumor. But the thing with herbal medicines is there's so many components to it. Even simple willow bark. The big pharmacies took out salicylic acid, right? That's the pain reliever. It also has 40 other components that work against pain, and they work synergetically together. When I had a shoulder operation, I ripped my rotator cuff right off. Had a shoulder operation, and they give me morphine. That did nothing. I might as well drink water. They're going to have a hell of a time killing me, those angels of death, when I'm on my deathbed and they're trying to give me that morphine. Yeah, right. Come on. You could do better than this. Anyway, then they finally went to Demerol. Demerol made me goofy, but it would stop the pain. And then the next day I got out of the hospital, and they sent me a few of the Demerol, but I went home and did my own medicine. The willow bark kept the pain away better than, they'd give me Percocet, a couple Demerol, and then the rest Percocet. And the willow did better than the Percocet controlling my pain. Of course, maybe it's because of this brain thing, I don't know. I can't get high off pills like most people can. They usually make me itch. It's a real bummer. I mean, God, I'd like it on Coke sometime, you know. But anyway, there's more to the healing, though, than just herbs. And we're going to be talking about fire ceremony tomorrow, I think, too, or something. Saturday.
Saturday you have the workshop. Saturday.
Oh, we're going to do the fire ceremony. Friday's drumming circle in the healings.
It's outside, we can have the fire.
Cool. Well, anyway, part of the original medicine the Creator brought us, you know, he made the hard box in us, and it's like a jukebox where you stack all these records up. We get a bad record, then we bury it with stuff that ain't so hard to look at, even if we got to argue with our kids or our parents. Something easy to look at, you know. And we do that over and over and over and over and over again throughout our life. Like I said in the beginning, my stuff, I earned it, I'm hanging on to her. So he brought us the fire ceremony. And it's a real simple thing to do. In 1996, I was a poster child for the National Sleep Foundation. They did six those wired up sleep studies, I forget what they call them. Sleep study. In six 24-hour periods, I slept 2 3/4 hours a night in 10-minute segments. The rest of the time I was having a nightmare. I was filling up with adrenaline, or I was trying to get back to sleep. And I'd get back to sleep, and within a minute, I'd be in full-blown nightmare again. I was a healer before I went to Vietnam, but because I was native, they put me in point. And you know what that is? That's the first dude in line. And I was very good at surviving. I didn't want to kill people, but, you know, if you're going to survive, you got to do what you got to do. It was a hard thing. But my job as a healer was not killing people, was saving people. And can you imagine being 18 and have that turmoil running through your mind all the time? Well, my father, he was, his mother was Dakota Ojibwe. His dad was German. Not a good combination. He was slightly stubborn. And of course, me being my dad's kid, I was slightly stubborn. So I got home and Graham said, you ought to do that fire ceremony. I said, no, Grant, I'm good. I'm good. I said, I'll give it to the people when I do the healing, but I don't need it. And progressively, my sleep got worse and worse and worse until 1996 when they did that 6 24-hour, they made a movie out of it or something for just the National Sleep Foundation. I can't imagine working a 2.5 hour sleep a day. Of course, I was young then. I was young and realized, I figured I can't sleep, I might as well work. I made a lot of money. Didn't do it a lot for my relationships, though. Which brings us right back to the fire ceremony, don't it? So with the fire ceremony, what we do is we just take a piece of paper and we thank God for helping us to forgive ourselves for situations where we had no control. You know, such things as deaths in the family, cancer, all things like that had happened to us and we have no control over it. On my 89th fire ceremony, I found out that I was blaming myself for my grandfather's death. I was like 3 years old and I had a dream. My dad was a construction worker, did cement work, but he traveled. He had one of the old steel suitcases you fold out and you put the pants in, you fold the thing down and then put the shirts in. When the dream, my grandfather was laying in a big steel suitcase like that. I'd never been to town, never heard of a funeral, never heard of blacktop even. Hell, I never even heard of electricity. What am I talking about? I woke up crying, and my mother said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "You got to go talk to Grandpa right now." And she said, "No, I talked to Grandpa this afternoon. His light's on. It's right across the field there. He's fine." Well, she didn't go, and he died. When you're 3 1/2, Grandpa lives forever, right? Well, and leave a 3 1/2-year-old mind. We know now that we live till the clock quits ticking, right? So anyway, that had been in my heart box for, golly, 50 years probably, before I got to that layer where that was stuffed away. And it had it buried all that time. 3 1/2-year-old kid shouldn't have to blame herself for that. But what does society teach us? What does society teach us? Somebody's to blame. Always somebody's to blame. So anyway, with the enough on that. Also part of our healing, as you've probably heard already, is we do energy healing. I thought it quite funny when the New Agers discovered it. We found energy. You can move energy. But I'm doing healing. If any of you have had healings with me or will be doing healings with me tomorrow, you're going to notice that I talk quite a lot. You know why that is? Because I don't do the healing, God does. And all I'm doing is keeping you out of your own way so God can get in. Now my grandmother, when she had her healings, there'd be two guys beating on drums and two or three guys jumping around the table where she was working. I think I was probably 14 or 15 before I realized. Them guys ain't doing nothing but distracting that guy so he's not blocking the energy that she was using. Pretty sharp old gal, that grandma mine. My grandmother started healing in 1905. She started teaching me in 54, and she healed until 1986. She says, "I'm done. You're taking over." I said, "Ah, Grandma, I can't take over." She, "Yeah, you can, because I'm done." I don't know how many years that is, but it was a long time to be a healer, I guess. I felt like the little bird, you know, when the mama throws him out because it's time for him to fly. I sure didn't want to. But I'm glad I did know. And one of the first things my grandmother did when I was 8 years old, I started healing. 8 years old. But she would never, ever let me heal on people. For 8 years, I did dogs and cats, Tweety birds, rabbits, and whatever was brought up to me. And I think every healer out there should really have to do that. Because when a guy brings you a dog with a broken leg and you put your hands on it, and 20 minutes later the dog runs away, you can't talk the dog into that he's better. The dog's better or he ain't. You can't talk that bird with a broken neck that flies away that he's better. He's either better or he's not. I don't do a lot of healing on animals anymore, but around 2000, a bird hit the window, migrating, smack. It entered with his head upside down on the ground, you know. And my wife of the time said, "God, we should put some tobacco out, help him on his journey to spirit land." I said, "Get over here and help me send some energy." And we sent energy to the bird about 5 minutes, and its neck was kinked off like this, you know. It picked his head up, but it fell back on its back. I said, "Another 5 minutes, he'd be good to go." And we sent energy for another 5 minutes, and he got up, shook his head, and flew away. It was one of those big yellow flickers. That wouldn't happen though. It wasn't his time. That house wasn't supposed to be there. Somebody built a house in his way. Sorry, bird. Anybody have any questions or anything particular you'd like to talk about?
Spiritual healing is quite mysterious. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about people who aren't healed and why that is.
First, I'd have to have one.
You've never had one.
I've lost 10 cancer clients, but mostly it's because they wouldn't do the fire ceremony or do the medicine. But I've had, I believe it's 874 successes with cancer, and that's from people getting out of hospice to every type of cancer you can think of. But even death is healing in itself. Like, I'm going to argue with the big guy, say, no, you can't have them. You know what I mean? But there's it's very rare that if people will listen to the Creator and do what He asks of them, that they don't get healed. One way or another.
It sounds like some of your first, this energy work is some of your first healing experiences, and then the herbs and come later. Is that, that sounds pretty true.
That is, in fact, a fact.
And easier, too, as a youngster, just putting your hands or just sending the energy.
Yeah.
Is, like, easier to do, I guess, but versus I'm impressed with your knowledge of nature and all its antidotes. They say for every poison, nature can provide an antidote.
So. Absolutely. And if you look, if you're in the woods, and you get into poison ivy, you look, jewelweed will be right there. It'll neutralize it. Get into stinging nettle, the burdock plant is right there. Take the leaf and wipe it off, and that'll take care of that, too.
Great. The history of Lyme disease, as you mentioned, you know, there's a pandemic, you know, and whatever was done in Germany to invent it, if you will. Mm-hmm. And whereas it's been, you know, supposedly known or misunderstood all these years, I mean, why is it even today that modern medical science, you know, has not been aware of that and being able to, you know, it seems like most doctors are fairly ignorant to that. You know, they'll treat you generically. And
yeah.
I mean, you've been able to uncover or do the analysis or research on that. And
yeah.
Is it just something that intentionally been ignored, or is it just the...
Well, I'm not sure it's really the doctors or if it's actually the CDC telling them no Lyme's cases. I know people that had 3 and 4 negative test results with Lyme's disease. Yeah. Did they tell you you were crazy?
They heard close to it.
Well, I've had to actually tell people, we think you need to see a psychiatrist because we've treated it with antibiotics and it's got to be gone. No. There's no way that you can treat a hybrid bug with a single component antibiotic. It just mutates around. It's got 7 days to do it. My protocol takes a whole year plus sometimes to get over it. But you know, more back to your answer there, I guess if God wants you healed, you'll be healed, and if He don't want you healed, you probably won't. Because I don't ever do healing. Only God can do healing. I just send God's energy.
I'm just wondering if you are training apprentices so that you have, or there will be other people after you to carry on the wonderful knowledge and wisdom that you've gathered from your people.
My daughter's 30. She's already doing healing. And Damien's going to be the 204th grandchild healer in my family. He's 10. I just got him monkeying with energy just a couple of years ago. He gets all embarrassed about it, though. You know? But he's going to be a fine healer one day. My daughter's really, really good. In fact, when I was terminal the last time with cancer there 3.5 years ago, I think it was her that saved me. She finally got it, the genetic part of treating cancer. For a lot of years she didn't, I don't understand that, I don't get it, Dad. But she finally saw it, the mutation. Yeah. This is our, and the check gene in our body, this is how it's supposed to look. Half from your mom, half from your dad. It's a pattern. You know, it's like a barcode. When it gets mutated through chemicals we breathe or chemicals we ingest, it'll end up looking something like this. The pattern's totally different. This one tells the cell, divide and die. Divide and die. This one tells the cell, divide, 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 becomes a little cheerleader. And we don't need cheerleaders. Our cells are just good on their own, right? And I think that might be part of my success with most cancers. A couple of them I knew I wasn't going to be able to save because they kept reverting. I'd fix the genetics and it would revert back, and I'd fix the genetics. But I keep hoping that God was going to change his mind. I keep doing it. And sometimes he does. Sometimes he don't.
I have a question about the energy. I have no clue what you're even talking about when you talk about working with energy.
You don't?
Not at all.
Good. Well, let me see if I can explain it to you. Everything has energy. Water, the shell, you, the feathers, the herbs. Everything gives off an energy. So does the Creator. And we channel the energy from the Creator in, and I send it on to people. Different energies do different things. It's actually frequencies I use. But do you understand that everything has energy?
Yeah, I understand everything has energy. Everything has vibration. But
right.
I don't understand.
Well, come here.
That you can do come anything here. With it.
Come here. Put your hand up. You've had cancer in your family. Not you, I don't know. But
trying to think.
It'd be a great grandparent, probably.
I think my mother, when she was 80, had cancer, tumor.
You got some of the genetics from her. Them are inherited mutations.
My father had cancer, colon cancer, died of colon.
My father died of colon cancer. But I don't. How do you know it's? How do you know that there's energy? Do you feel it? I don't feel anything.
Some people
don't. I don't see auras. I don't feel energy.
No, not everybody does. Not everybody does. But even my clients who don't feel the energy get better. That can't happen by accident,
how
right?
How would I go about learning how to feel energy? How would I go about sensing it or learning about it?
Well, the first thing would be do a bunch of fire ceremonies and get out of your own way. We're mostly in our own way that blocks us from feeling the energy.
Do what?
Fire ceremony that I talked about earlier. That would help you.
Sounds like there's a combination where I'm curious. Like the herbs, did they actually help? And then are they the catalyst to our own immune system? And then you've got God's energy. So it's all three things happening?
Yeah. Everything works synergetically together. The Creator imbibed these herbs with a certain energy to do certain things in our bodies. They can help or hinder, depending on which side effect you want, just like a regular pill. But you know, with most of my Lyme's clients, they do good. They come in every 5 or 6 weeks and get an energy treatment, which I'll zap the heck out of the bugs, and they get on the protocol and they get better. How long you been on the protocol?
I started, yesterday was my third week.
And how you doing?
It's interesting.
Are you having the Herxheimer's?
Oh yeah. Every Wednesday when I start the new one, it works for like 3 days.
Yeah.
Better, so I know every Wednesday through Friday I'm not
going to
feel good.
And it's sad that we have to do that, but it's the only way we can get by the bug is you got to kill them. And when you use the different medicines with the Lyme's disease, there's billions and trillions of them in our body, and when we kill off bunches of them, their little skeletons make endotoxins. That make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I answer your question enough?
What our immune system, our own body, what part does it do, our immune system?
Well, our own immune system helps us keep things under control. In the case of Lyme's, it loses. It's up against a hybrid. Our bodies never were made to fight against hybrid bugs. If it was just malaria we fight against, and it's good to use antibiotics to help with malaria. Syphilis, again, it's good to help our own antibodies fight a big time against it, but Lyme's a whole different animal.
One of the things that we hear a lot about all the time is the dangers and the trends of stress, in general, stress in our lifestyle.
Stress will kill you.
Well, right. And so I'm just wondering if you have any unusual insights about what's going on, I mean, globally with all of our lives together and the way we're related to each other more than we were before. And if one person has a problem, everybody's got the problem, blah, 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 things like that.
Well, what we're doing is we're going through another cycle. You know, you've all heard the story of the Bible, Noah's boat. Everybody thinks that's the first time. It's not. That was the third time. And we're headed the same way again unless we change. If we don't start taking care of Mother Earth, that's why all these things are happening, why all these new bugs are coming up that we've never heard of before, because we quit taking care of Mother Earth. She used to control them for us. But now we don't pay attention to Mother Earth. We hurt her. There's no place you can go on the face of the planet you can't find hydrocarbons from airplane fuel. It's in the ground, it's in the water. And the reason that we're all being affected by the same way, by our own Earth Mother, you know what I mean? There used to be an atmosphere that protected us. And I'm not talking about the ozone. There was much more to it than that. The ozone's just our last layer of defense. There's stuff coming from the sun now, the neutrinos and stuff, they never used to get in here. You know, even when the ozone was perfectly solid, the neutrinos would get in because of the whatever's missing, elements missing out of the atmosphere that we've destroyed through our ignorance. That got it for you?
Well, I was interested in whatever you, anything. Good.
Yeah, yeah, and that's pretty much of it. It's
the imbalance.
Imbalance, yes. Absolutely imbalance. You know, when Columbus arrived here, there was 178 million Native Americans here. Guess how much pollution?
Zero.
Zero. Because we lived with the Mother Earth, and we honored her. We don't need all this technology we got today to survive. And who knows, maybe one day soon it's going to be gone again. And we get to start over. Give Mother Earth a couple billion years to clean herself back up. Nice, huh?
I was watching public television recently, and between programs a little quiz popped up that I thought was really interesting. It said the human biome consists of A, fungus, B, virus, C, bacteria, and I guess the right answer, D, all of the above. But science says that all those things are toxic and we have to kill them. And of course, they can be toxic when they're out of balance.
Right, they can be.
But I think that whole paradigm is our problem.
Well, yeah. That's what they were. Let's make a new pill so we can kill everything. A lot of those bacteria that are in our body, Creator made for us to help us survive.
Let's live in harmony.
Let's live in harmony, exactly. That would be the greatest
thing. God bless the doctors, but so many other things are toxic.
Well, everything they make is toxic. Anything, even these herbs. If I would refine it again, it could become toxic to the human body.
You understand what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Let's kill it before it kills, or kill
it before it kills us, or
right.
like with radiation and chemotherapy. And
oh, I'm real familiar with those. Had them both 3.5 years ago.
Ouch. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you may wonder, I went through 45 radiations and 3.5 months of chemo, and you may wonder, why would a medicine man do that? I was terminal 3 times before, and I got rid of it through herbs. Didn't do anything with the doctors. The first time they found cancer in me, I had a tumor in my colon. It was one of those on a tree stump. It had a root in my right lung, my pancreas, my spleen, my kidneys, my bladder, my stomach, my liver. And the doc says, we can't save you.
You're a tough guy.
And I said, it's okay, doc. I'm going to go home and take care of this myself. And he said, I know who you are. I know what you've done with. At that time, I had about 100 veterans that had got over their cancer down in Minneapolis there. And seven of them at that time were out of hospice. He said, I know who you are. He says, my suggestion to you is you go home and do your Indian mumbo jumbo and be back here in 12 days. So I went back in 12 days. Guess how much cancer was left? Not only the cancer was gone, so were the polyps before they got to the cancer. The next time I had cancer was about 6-7 years later. I was real high exposure to Agent Orange. 6 or 7 years later, I had a tumor the size of my testicle on my testicle.
Ouch.
Oh, it hurt. I mean, just driving to the doctor just about killed me. Of course, I got there, the doctor was a new intern, right? He had a lot of fun with that needle getting him biopsies. Yeah. Well, anyway, he run him right to the lab, and he come back. He said, yeah, it's testicular cancer. So he's talking mumbo-jumbo, mumbo-jumbo, testosterone. And he says, we got to get rid of the cause of this testosterone. I said, wait a minute, doctor. I said, are you talking about the boys? He said, well, yes, I am. And I said, I'm Native American. That ain't going to happen. He said, well, then you're going to die. I said, well, couldn't we do radiation or chemo? He said, no, if you're not getting rid of the cause of the testosterone, we're not going to touch you. You're wasting our time. I said, well, I'll tell you what, doc, make me an appointment 3 months. He says, you don't have 3 weeks. I said, make me an appointment 3 months. I'll be back. I said, what's the worst going to happen? You're going to get 15 minutes off because I died. You know, right? I went back in 3 months and it was gone. Now, that guy was a brand new intern. About 6 or 7 years later, I got it on the other side. He did the biopsies. He says, testicular cancer. Know what he said? 3 months, right? I said, no, let's try it in a month. And I went back in a month and it was gone. And then I ended up 3.5 years ago with this tumor on my carotid artery. I would swallow, my food would go around it and then continue on its journey. And I went and got, went to the VA and they did 10 biopsies on me. He happened to have, it's a training school in Minneapolis, so he happened to have 10 students with me. You mind if the students watch? I said, no, not a problem. So he took out his 10 and took a couple, three out of the inside of my throat. He was gone a little while, came back with 7 more students. He said, I missed it. I said, well, help yourself. He did another 10 or 15 of them. Left again, come back. He said, I missed it again. He'd come back with 7 new other students. I said, doc, I'm not stupid. I know you want to show the students how to do that. And I said, I'm more than willing to help you. But don't be lying to me. Just tell me you want to show the students how to get some biopsies. I said, go ahead, help yourself. I said, but don't come back. He did 40 biopsies on my throat. And he came back, and I had cancer everywhere. In my tonsils, in my throat, down here, in my lymph nodes. And the doc come out finally after they got all the results back and said, you gonna work with us? And I said, well, doc, I don't know. I said, I would do the same thing I've done every time I had cancer. And he said, what's that? I said, I'm gonna go pray and see what God tells me to do. And I said, I'm heading up for Copper Harbor, Michigan. Any of you guys know what that is? That's as far north as you can go in Lake Superior. The lake goes down both ways from there. Anyway, I went on the peninsula. My grandmother taught me when I was young, if you're praying with your tobacco like God instructed us, if you're praying with your tobacco and the sky turns red before the sun comes up, you can ask the Creator a question, He'll answer you. So I go out there on that peninsula about 3:30 in the morning, I got my tobacco out, and I'm saying, good morning, Creator, I got a question for you, and the sky turned red. Stayed that way for 15 minutes. I says, Creator, this seems different. What do you want? And the Creator said to me, you know how you've wanted to work with doctors the last 50 years? I said, yeah. He said, you never work with them. And I thought, oh, criminy. I felt a little bit like Jesus must have. I said, oh, they're going to crucify you, but it's going to be okay. Yeah, you ain't got the nails in your hand, Jack. You know? So anyway, the Creator says, they're going to cut you from the top of your ear to the bottom of your throat. They're going to cut the lining of your throat out, which they did. They're going to take your tonsils out. They're going to do 45 radiations, and they're going to do 3.5 months of chemo. They want to do 4, but they'll kill you if you take that last dose, so don't take it. He said, you're going to go from 200 pounds down to less than 100, and they're going to send you home to die because it's going to move into your right lung. I'd taken 3 or 4 of my buddies up, and I told them what I heard when I was praying. And so we headed back down to Wisconsin, of course, and then that Monday I went back to the hospital. The doc said, you're going to work with us? And I said, yes, I am. I said, but I'd really like to give you a prophecy from God. And he said, what's that? There ain't no such thing as that. I said, what's going to hurt you right down the back of your book there, a few words? He said, all right. So just what I told you guys is what I told him, and he wrote it down, right? So we do the surgery, we do the radiation, we do the chemo. And all it did is spread into the top of my right lung. And Doc says to me after 4.5 months, he says, there's not much more we can do for you. He says, you might want to think about getting your affairs in order, maybe getting in hospice. I said, tell you what, Doc, you get in hospice. I'm going to go home and take care of this now. I'm done with you guys. And I went home and started on my herbal remedies. And they put me like on a temporary disability. I cashed my October check, cashed my November check, cashed my December check, and I cashed my January check. They called up to see if I was still alive. They weren't worried if I was alive. They was worried somebody was stealing money from the government. So anyway, the doc says, geez, maybe we better do a PET scan with you. I said, all right. So a couple weeks later, I went in for a PET scan. All this cancer's gone, everything. And there's 3 spots left in my lung, about the, you know, not as big as the end of my finger in a triangle. Radiologist sent me into the doctor's office, and he said, you got to talk to your doc. And I went and sat down, there was no doctor there, but he come to the door, and he says, go home, we're going to do another PET scan in 2 months. Come back. Turned around, walked away. Couldn't ask him nothing. So I went home, continued on my herbal medicine, and went back in 2 months. This time it's everything is clear. Everything's gone. Praise be God, you know. And went through my PET scan. He sent me into the doctor's office. Again, he wasn't there. He walked in and said, go home. We're going to do another PET scan in 2 months. Wait a minute, doc, before you leave. He says, what's that? I said, are you or are you not the same doctor that told me I could only have 2 PET scans a year because it causes cancer? He said, why, yes, I am. I said, but we're doing 3 in 6 months? He said, yes, we are. So I went home and went back and got the 3rd one, and again, it was all clear. Clear as a bell. And I went to the radiologist, sent me to his office again, and he said, doctor was actually there, and he says, what did you do? And I said, doc, you know what I did? He said, well, how would I know what you did? I said, look in the back of your little book there. How could you know this 1.5 years ago? that was going to go like this. I said, a prophecy from God's only a prophecy from God if it's truth. Right? I said, if I'd have died, it'd all been BS. Any other questions?
There was one question from the person through the internet. What would you suggest then for insomnia?
I would start out with valerian and chamomile and fire ceremony. Clear that mind a little bit so it can settle down. And also a little bit of St. John's would help. And if some of the insomnia is by anxiety, then get some kava kava also mixed in with it.
What would someone do to heal their kidneys if they have like renal kidney failure damage?
Last year, I got two people off the kidney transplant list by feeding them ironwood tea. Now, most of the stuff you can't buy online because it's old Indian medicine. You got to go out in the woods and make it. But it also, ironwood is good for high blood pressure by stimulating the pancreas. It's good for the blood sugar because it does the same thing. It's also good for the kidneys. And I think they're all three related in there. All three of those items are related. So yeah, I'd get myself some ironwood tea. Now with ironwood tea, you have to make it like a teaspoon and a cup of boiling water. And you make it, pour the hot water on it in the PM, like tonight. Cover it with a saucer and then tomorrow morning drink it. Ironwood's really hard stuff, takes all night for the medicine to come out.
I was wondering if the herbs that you use, that you learned from your grandmother, are they universal? All Native Americans?
No.
No? These are unique to your tribe?
Well, almost within tribal people, they're almost unique to the medicine man.
Territory, even, right?
Right.
Whatever is available.
Yeah. Because what's herbs down here? We're going to go on a walk and we're going to look around. I don't know if I'm going to find anything I recognize at all because the herbs here is different than the herbs I grew up with. But I'm sure I'll find some. There's some universal herbs that every medicine man, every healer, every herbalist use, you know.
How do you work with patients out that live someplace else?
Long distance healing. God's energy is God's energy, whether it's from me to you or from me to Australia. It doesn't change.
Talk about the doses. You were saying for insomnia, you should do blah, blah, blah. But how do we get the herbs here? And then what are the dosings of that? Because I'm very interested in it. Mm-hmm. But I also know that a lot of the places where we go and buy them, they're not necessarily the right dosing.
Yeah. Well, it usually works far better for me if I can get my hands on and run God's energy through it, because he tells me the dosage and what we need. And sometimes what I think has got nothing to do with what the Creator thinks you need. Surprises me occasionally. What? No.